As I stepped to this pulpit, the words of Jesus came to my mind for the Last Supper. And he said to his disciples, with great desire, have I desired to eat this meal with you. And I'm just ad-libbing there a little bit. But that's how I feel. It's such a wonderful thing to have all of us back together again and to enjoy the fellowship of God's people and to feel a move of the Holy Ghost like we've already experienced here today. And it's all for a reason. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people here today that are in great need of some type of an intervention by God. He knows every one of you by name. He knows what you're needing. In fact, he knows even better than you know yourself. And the sum total of all of you that are reaching out to God today has attracted heaven's attention. And his spirit is walking around in this place today. I want to remind you, when Jesus passed by, those that were reaching out for him never left disappointed. Amen. If you're reaching out to him today as he walks by, you're going to receive what you need from the Lord. Why don't you open your heart to God right now? Let's just talk to him. God, your will be done in this service. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a lot more going on in the spirit here than what the eye can see right now. When the Spirit of the Lord hovers over the waters, that's right before he does a major miracle. Let's thank the Lord together one more time. Thank you, Jesus, for the moving of your spirit right now. I worship you. I adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's turn to Psalm 133, verse number 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The book of St. John, chapter 17, two separate verses, verse 11 and verse number 21. John 17, 11, 21. I'll pause just for a moment. I'm sorry the way the Spirit's moving. I'm not able to greet you as I would like to. But I want everybody here to know how delighted we are to see you in the house of God. Thank you for being here. Jesus said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world and I come to thee. This is the last prayer that was prayed in the garden, and the entire chapter of John, 17th chapter of John, is dedicated to a portion of that prayer. And so he realizes, I'm just hours away from leaving this world, and so this is how it affected his prayer. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. That these with him was 11 of the 12, Judas not being present. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That they all may be one, verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My, my, this is, you talk about God confirming a message before it's even preached. My title of this subject today is When Brothers Dwell in Unity. When brothers dwell in unity. Let's give the Lord some thanksgiving together right now. Lord, I bless your holy name. I exalt you, Jesus. I know you've already done great things in this service, and I believe in you to complete the work that you've begun. Let your anointing continue to move during the preaching of your word. Open hearts and minds to hear and receive the word of the Lord, and let your perfect will be done in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. In Psalm 133, which we just read in its entirety, I think it's probably the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. But a lot is said in just a few very well-spoken words. And this is taken from the prayer of Jesus. And if anybody would know how to say things properly and say a lot in just a few words, I think it would be Jesus. I'm speaking concerning the 17th chapter here of John. But in the psalm that David wrote, he's talking about the benefits and the blessings of brethren dwelling together in unity. Do you realize it's very difficult to get a group of two people to agree? Much less to get 3 or 10 or 12 or 20 or 100 or 500 or whatever the count might be. But Jesus is praying to his Father, and he was talking not only about his 12, but also elsewhere in that prayer. He talked about those that you've given me and those that would be given, futuristic, including you and I, that this same prayer was prayed on our behalf as well. But David, reaching way back in time, is speaking basically prophetically. And he said, how good and how delicious it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, when they don't dwell together in unity, it's anything but pleasant or delicious, either way you want to say it. But then he referred back to that anointing oil that was poured out upon Aaron when he was, given to the Lord for service as the high priest. And Moses is the one that commissioned him, that anointed him. And he poured that horn of oil over his head. And it would be olive oil with a various mixture of different sweet-smelling scents and spices and so forth. And he poured it down upon him. Now, we anoint with oil, and we take one little dab, and we touch people on the head, and we're careful not to get it in their hair and not whatever, whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, when they anointed people in the Bible, like for to be a king or to be someone for God, they poured it on them. A horn of oil was poured over him. So much oil was poured over him. Don't have to use your imagination, but it ran down his head. It ran down his beard. It ran down his garments, plural, all the way to the hem thereof. And so you got a man standing there that is covered in anointing. It wasn't a little touch. It wasn't a little dab. Amen. But he was saturated in anointing. because he was going to be going before the holiest of holies into the very inner presence of God, where no one else could go, only a high priest one time a year after he had been sanctified and gone through different processes to cleanse himself and make himself ready for that once a year trip behind the veil of veil. But here we are today in a place where that veil has been rent in twain. And it's wide open for you and I, all of us, not just the preacher or preachers, but every one of us can walk through, amen, that opening that was made through the giving of the life of Jesus Christ, through his death and burial and resurrection. We have been given access to the very center of God's presence. Amen. Everybody here, if you've been born again in the water and the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit. You're baptized in Jesus' name. You've spoken in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. You have access into what I'm talking about right now. Anytime, day or night. Not once a year. Amen. But many times, every night, if you need it, many times, just cry out to God because he is accessible unto us. But David said, here's a key to really having the Spirit of God blessing and dwelling and upon you. And that is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. What's unity talking about? Well, it's the state of being united. Or combining a group together and we're part of a whole. And it's a oneness of mind. Thinking alike, believing alike, amen. It's a feeling among a number of people. We all care for one another. We all love one another. We all look out for one another. And I'm not talking about an ungodly sense. I'll not back a one of you if you've done something wrong. I'll try to save you. I'll try to help you, but I'm not going to cover for you. And neither would I want you to do that for me. Amen. But what we do is we keep one another's back. We understand what a pastor has to go through. We understand some of the things, amen, that one has to go through to build a church and a congregation. It's not easy, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God makes up the difference. That's why we want to have unity, so we can have the blessings of God, the favor of God, the anointing of God. Amen. We can see God confirming his word with signs following. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we're talking about this word unity. Let me take it a little bit further. Some of the synonyms, which means a word that means close to the same thing, that helps us understand the word we're focused on a little bit better. It means agreement. Amen. We agree. It means consensus. We all come together. We talk about it. We take a vote. And bless your heart, we all are in agreement on that. It means harmony. And that's not talking about four-part harmony. Amen. It's talking about harmony that exists. Peace between a group of people. It's a part of our identity. It has to do with integrity. It has to do with peace, accord, alliance, confederation. Brothers, we're in this up to our eyeballs. You hear me? So we might as well just get with God's program. Amen, amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And so I can show you many different places in Scripture. I'll show you a few before I get through here today, God willing. But I can show you in Scripture that brothers being in harmony is emphasized, but very little of it has ever happened. In fact, would you believe the first two brothers that were ever born, the first two brothers that were ever birthed here on the earth, that one of them got jealous of the other and murdered his brother? The first murder was a man murdering his brother. The first man born on the earth murdered the second man that was born on the earth. That was his brother. What in the world could cause one to do such a thing as this? Amen. It was all about sacrifice. It started in a church service. Amen. Somebody got their feelings hurt in a church service. Somebody stirred up trouble. Somebody rebelled against the will of God. Somebody put their heels in the ground and said, I shall not be moved. Amen. But there was a seed of resentment and envy and jealousy that was planted in that first brother's heart, and he refused to turn loose of it. God dealt with him on numerous occasions. Each time he just hardened his heart a little harder. And he finally got it worked around in his mind that the reason why God rejected his sacrifice, amen, it was his brother's fault. He was jealous of his brother because when his brother offered his sacrifice, which was a firstling from his flock of sheep, amen, that God honored it, God accepted it. Amen. And that upset came so much because he brought produce from the ground. He brought his most beautiful vegetables that he had grown. Amen. Because he had a better idea. I'm going to tell you, you never have a better idea than what the Word says. Amen. God is not interested in our cute little ideas. God wants us to learn his cute little ideas. And I shouldn't even have said cute little ideas. His ways. Amen. He wants us to obey his commandments and his statutes. He wants us to do things according to the plan that he has in heaven and that he has revealed to humanity. So you need, if you want to know the will of God, get your nose in the book. Amen. Because that's where God's will is written. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank God for his word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What we really have here is one brother upset because another brother seemed to be doing better than he was. He's upset because he feels like he was mistreated. Another brother, his brother was, petted and catered to and got to have his way and got something he didn't deserve. Amen. So he was driven by anger. He was driven by jealousy so strong, amen, that it caused him to commit the very first murder. My God, how many millions and millions and millions and millions has there been since then? I wouldn't be surprised as long as the world has stood as many wars and fights and different things. It would probably number into the billions even, perhaps, that have been murdered or killed by violence. Amen. And so another example from the Old Testament, two outstanding examples. There's many others. I'm just going to talk about one more and just briefly about it. But how many of you ever heard or remembers the story about Esau and Jacob? Esau and Jacob. You know who they were? They were Abraham's grandsons. Amen. They were the children of Abraham's only son that God recognized. Esau was the oldest that put him in line to receive the birthright. With that, there was both a natural and spiritual blessing and responsibility. And so Esau never cared that much about it. It's obvious from his attitude, from the things he said, the things that he did. And one day he was hungry, come in from a hunt, and he hadn't killed anything, and he'd hunted hard all day, and he was so hungry, and his brother Jacob just happened to be cooking a big old pot of lentils, which would be probably some type of beans and peas and things along that line. It smelled so good. I've got to have some. And he said to his brother, please give me something to eat. I'm famished. I'm about to starve to death. You know how we react sometimes. We kind of overstate our case. Amen. I doubt he was going to starve to death over not eating one day. I've been 2 or 3 days without eating before. Didn't carry on half that much. Jacob said, well, what do you give me? He said, what do you want? He said, I want your birthright. He said, Saul, give me my soup. But you know what? Because he did not appreciate that which is sacred, that which is divine, that which is appointed of God, that which is part of God's plan. Because of that, amen, God marked that. And he marked him. And he could not, from that point forward, have the favor of God that he would have had if he hadn't been so frivolous about the things of God. It's important. It's important to take the things of God seriously. And so here again, a little bit later, the rivalry got so intense, and Esau had even threatened, when daddy dies, I'm going to kill you. He told Jacob that. He told others that. And Jacob's mom, finally called him in. Of course, his mom to both of them. They were twin brothers. They didn't look nothing alike, but they were twin brothers born within probably minutes of each other. But anyway, she pulled Jacob aside, which seemed to be her favorite. And Esau seemed to be the daddy's favorite because he was a man's man, you know, outdoorsman, et cetera, et cetera. Jacob hung around the house, et cetera. But anyway, she told Jacob, you know, you're going to have to flee for your life. When your daddy dies, he's coming after you. He said it, and I know he means it. And so that division, it's so difficult sometimes for God's will to be performed. Because it's not the sinner folks out here that's causing problems, but we can get issues going within the church that causes the Spirit of God to be bound up. Attitudes, actions, sins, on and on and on. You know, God doesn't overlook all of that and just say, oh, that's okay. We're going to have a great Holy Ghost outpouring. No, we're going to have a great Holy Ghost cleansing. Before we get the outpouring. Many centuries later, still in the Old Testament. But I'm talking about not just decades, but centuries later. Amen. One Old Testament prophet by the name of Amos, in the book named after him, chapter 3 and verse 3, said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And when he's talking about walk together, he's talking about linking up as partners. Amen. And doing something together. And God blessing it. How can they do that if they're not in agreement? Absolutely not. It's a rhetorical question. Amen. The answer is implied in the question. And that is, no, two people cannot walk together and work together and accomplish the will of God unless they're in agreement. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus had to deal with similar attitudes during the time of his ministry. How many of you know that on many, many occasions, within the 12, they were all arguing amongst each other about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Who's going to be number one? Who's going to be number two? No, it's not you. It's going to be me. And back and forth and around and around. And there was always that little bit of division and a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of competition and that political mindset that I want to be in charge. I want to be the one that calls the shot. I want to be the boss after Jesus is gone. And so not only in that, But Jesus had to deal with similar attitudes that he ran into during his earthly ministry with the religious crowd. Did you know some of the most hard-set people against real Bible truth is not the man or the lady out here that doesn't profess to be a Christian or anything? The big pushback comes from religious people that don't like what the Word says when somebody preaches it. Book of Matthew, it's recorded in chapter 12. I'm not going to read the book or anything. But there was a man that came where Jesus was preaching. He was demon possessed. I'm going to tell you, one of the most pitiful, pathetic things you'll ever see is somebody that is totally loaded up with devils. Amen. I've seen them. I've dealt with several through the years. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But I'm telling you, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And you know, when you're possessed with the Spirit, you can't get rid of it yourself. You know, this is different than repenting of your sins. You are bound. Only somebody, amen, that has spiritual authority and faith in God, and you have a desire to be delivered, that'll have to pray over you and bind that spirit or spirits and cast them out of you. And so in that day and time, here there was nobody that was casting out devils. You don't read about it in the Old Testament. But Jesus, when he encountered a devil, he didn't bypass him, saying, I can't do anything about this. He took it head on. So this man had a demon, and not only that, he was totally blind, and also he could not speak. And they called it dumb, D-U-M-B, unable to speak. Unable to give any utterance with speech. And Jesus not only delivered him from that demon, but he gave him 20/20 sight and gave him the ability to speak eloquently. You would think everybody that was religious and believed in God would say, oh, hallelujah, isn't this wonderful? This has to be the Messiah that we've been waiting for. But no, amen, that come against him and accused him of casting out the devil by the power of the devil. He cast out these demons because he's hooked up with the spirits of hell. He's hooked up with Satan. And Jesus answered their charge in a very, it's a very profound statement that he made. And it contains a powerful spiritual application that I want us to get here today. Amen. You can use this to both spiritual kingdoms and natural kingdoms. But here's the word that Jesus said in Matthew 20, 25. He knew their thoughts and said unto them, I'm going to tell you, this is why you can't get around the Lord. He knows what you're thinking before you even get it all sorted out yourself. He knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. No good. It's over with. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So what he's saying is, if I'm casting out the devil by the devil, now that's really stupid. Now Jesus could say, because he had all power, he had all knowledge, he had all wisdom, he could say, you know, the devil is stupid. Although he's smarter than any of us. The devil is stupid, but he's not that stupid. He's not going to divide his own house. And so the principle here is the very worst thing that we can do is to cause division within the body of Jesus Christ. That's very, very important for us to remember that. In fact, it's even Apostle Paul in the New Testament even talked about it'd be better to suffer wrong and just suck it up, be a man, be a woman, pray about it and move on, put it under the blood, than to cause some kind of disgrace or some kind of problem within the church where people could be affected. Folks could be, you know, how it is. People could be, lose out with God and on and on and on. We don't want that to happen. And I'm going to tell you, preacher, something. You're going to have to suck a lot of stuff up. You wouldn't even believe the stuff that I've sucked up before. Amen. I've put out thousands of dollars that I didn't owe, but just to keep people happy, to keep the name of the church cleared up, just to keep people running around talking against the church and trying to run down and ruin my name so I couldn't be effective here in this city, in this area. That's just one aspect of it. I go on and on and on. Amen. But you're gonna find that many times you don't get to take, you know, like your rights. But you yield your rights for the benefit of the people of God. We want the church. We want the church to thrive. We want it to go on. Amen. If I have to suffer a little bit, so be it, if the church of God can move forward. And everybody say, praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing, though, that comes out of this. He said Satan is not going to do that. He's not going to divide his house. So you know what that tells me? Think with this just for a moment. The followers of Satan, both fallen angels and evil people, they are united for the same purpose. And they are united against the kingdom of God. I would to God I could say that with sincerity today concerning the Church of Jesus Christ on the wide scale. A lot of division. A lot of fussing, a lot of competition, a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy, a lot of strife. Amen. If we could get our act together. Amen. I'm not talking about, as I said a little bit earlier, not covering each other's back when you're wrong. Amen. But I'm talking about if we could come together instead of focusing on me and mine and this and that and the other and focus on the kingdom of God, we could have the greatest revival that any of us have ever witnessed. Amen. So this last prayer that Jesus prayed was for there to be unity between his disciples. It's necessary. It's essential. It has to happen in order for there to be the move of God in our midst. So here he is. Of all the things, please focus on this with me, because I'm bringing several things to you. I could get more dynamic and all that, but I really want you to hear and get this in your heart and mind. I'm slowing down on purpose. Amen. But what I'm trying to help you understand, this is his last night on the earth. He just had his last supper with his disciples. Now he's having his last prayer meeting with his disciples. He can't even get them to stay awake. But he knew that he only had a few hours left to live. And so he's praying his last prayer. Now, if I knew I was praying my last prayer, there's some things I wouldn't even pray about that maybe normally I would. Amen. But what I would pray about if I knew in just a 30 minutes or an hour from now, there's a band of men coming to get me and take me and to throw me in jail and to give me a false hearing before different ones and condemn me to die on the cross, and all this is going to happen within the next 12 or 14 hours, I'm going to be praying about the most important thing that I can think of. And you know what Jesus was focused on? Let there be unity among the brethren. Let there be unity in the church. Because he knew without unity can never happen. Are you listening to me today? Amen. We need unity like we've never needed it before. Amen. Praise God. And even on the way to the garden, they were fussing about who was going to be the greatest. And so the thing that Jesus prayed about in the garden, while he couldn't get them to stay awake and pray, was that they would be one, even as he and the Father was one. You know, for in him, that is Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? There it is. All of God there is dwelt in Jesus Christ. But you never hear anybody talk about all of Jesus Christ dwelt in the Spirit. But that's what the Bible says. He said, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I've come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then there's a lot of good things in that chapter. You ought to go home and read it and study it out. But you drop on down to verse 21, and again he says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So everything there was of the Father dwelt in Jesus Christ. Everything there was in Jesus Christ dwelt in the Father, which means it's like you and I. Amen. We have a physical body. There's a spiritual man that dwells inside, and we have a soul, which involves the mind and a whole lot of other things that is involved in that. And so, really what you've got here, he's showing us that him and his Father is just like us. Threefold manifestation within each and every one of us. Amen. We have a physical body. We have spiritual man, part of us that lives in us. And then there's the natural man. And that's it. And he said, Father, I want them to be in us and us in them like you and I are. Now, they're still fussing. Still arguing. Seemed like it took the death of Jesus Christ to jolt them out of some of that. And when he was crucified the next morning, and when he died, and they put him in the tomb, and on the third day he arose, there was a space of 40 days that Jesus appeared to his disciples often. And what he did during that time was to teach them about principles of the kingdom. And this was a very important time. This 40 days with Jesus was more important than the 3.5 years that they had spent with him prior to this. Because first of all, he laid hands on them. He prayed for them. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then he began to go through the works and the writings of the prophets there in the Old Testament. And they understood it. 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 They had knowledge, but they didn't have revelation prior to this. And so now they are filled with understanding. And as they begin to understand the scriptures, they begin to understand we got to quit bickering among ourselves. We got to quit competing with one another. We need to quit trying to put each other down and promote ourselves. And we need to get our mind off of that. And we need to become kingdom minded. Amen. We need to focus on the kingdom of God. We need to focus on the salvation of humanity. We need to focus on the church that Jesus is establishing. Amen. And he wants us to build on this foundation of truth. Praise God. So when Jesus ascended into heavens, and they're staring, staring, staring. Have you ever shot an arrow into the air and watch it go higher, 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 till it almost disappears? They got some, if you shot them now, they would disappear, literally. And you don't know what goes up, remember? Be sure and wear one of them helmets and quit looking up after a little bit. And that may not be enough. Hopefully it would be. But they're standing there gawking. And all of a sudden they became aware there's two men. They looked around, robed in white. And they said, "Why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you just saw leave, guess what? He's coming back again the same way you saw him go." Amen. How many of you still believe that Jesus is coming back? Amen. How many of you are planning on being ready when he comes? So I'm going to tell you something about that 10 days that you probably never thought about before. I've never heard anybody preach on it, teach on it. It's something I've looked at here for a while, but I haven't said much about it. But I've thought about it a lot. I'm going to say a little bit about it. Amen. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," chapter 2, verse 1, "they were all with one accord in one place." All, not just 12, but all the other disciples, 120 of them, every one of them was in 100% agreement. Lord, have mercy. If that's what it took to get this thing going, that's what it takes to keep it going. And do you know what happened? They were together in the upper room 10 days. It was 50 days from his resurrection, when he raised from the dead, to when the Holy Ghost was poured out. 40 days with Jesus. 10 days alone by themselves. You know what they did? We know a few things they did. They appointed another apostle to take the place of Judas that fell through transgression. That's not the only thing. That didn't take them 10 days to do that, surely. Surely they didn't argue 10 days over who's going to be the next apostle. But I'm going to tell you what. I guarantee you there was a lot of repentance going on. See, these men were not born again yet. They've been equipped. They've been taught. They know what they've got to do, but that means them. It's got to start with them first. I submit to you that they cleansed themselves by repentance during that 10 days. And not just repenting to God, but probably apologizing to one another. James and John. Their mama even came and spoke on their behalf. "Why, would you let one of my sons sit on your right hand, the other one on your left?" And that made all the other disciples really angry at James and John. And James and John was with their mama, knew what she was going to do, so they were part of it. It was part of a scheme. But somewhere in there, James had to go around and say, I'm really sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. John had to make some things right. But guess what? Others had to make things right for them too, because there was feelings both ways and a lot of other ways. They got it all straightened out. I wonder what would happen if we could get that kind of unity in the body of Christ. Get it all worked out. Amen. We fast, we pray, we do this, we do that, we do other things. Amen. We pass out flyers, we witness to people, we invite people, and on and on and on. And we don't see the results we'd like to see sometimes. Amen. I'm wondering if there's one thing that we're leaving out is we're not taking care of our relationship with one another within the body of Christ. Amen. I'm going to wrap this up here in a little bit. But I don't want to wrap it up before we get to where we need to. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Perfect definition of unity. If you ever get in one of these kind of services, you'll never forget it. I think I've been in a few, but not necessarily many. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with what? Somebody shout it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we appoint in this service today when I'm telling you the Holy Ghost was falling all over this congregation. It hasn't left, but I mean it was manifesting itself. How many of you received something from God already in this service? Strength and encouragement and faith and victory and anointing. Amen, amen. And so on the day of Pentecost, it appeared unto them as cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues as the Spirit of God. Other tongues the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability to speak in a language they did not learn. Praise God. Let's see if we can wrap this up here in just a little bit. So let's go back to this idea that Satan is a master of creating strife in the body of Christ. Peter said this. Simon Peter. How many of you remember when he was a dud? How many of you remember when he denied the Lord three times, huh? How many of you remember when he cut that servant's ear off with a sword? Or whatever. The times that he spoke up at the wrong time and said the wrong things when he opened his mouth. He was rebuked more by Jesus than all the other 12 put together as far as what we have record of. And yet he hung in there. So there's hope for some of you. Look at somebody and tell them there's hope for you. Amen. I believe it. Just wish some of you go ahead and get busy getting it, you know. Praise God. But Peter said this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. Then he said, grace and peace. Grace is God's ability that's given to us to perform His will. And peace comes with being at peace with God, at peace with your brother and your sister, your home, your family. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Everything we need to be successful for God has been given to us. Amen. In the natural sense, as well as in the spiritual sense. Not only that, He has given us grace. The things that God asks you to do, He does not intend for you to have to do it under your own power and your own strength. The things He asks us to do are impossible for us to do in the flesh. This is why you must be born again of the water and the Spirit and have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Or you will not have the strength and the ability. Give it all you've got, 100%. And that's not good enough to deliver you from the clutches of sin. To take out the old stony heart and give you a flesh heart upon which God has written His commandments. Amen. But we have to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And then God said, I'll multiply my grace unto you. If you need more grace, just ask Him for it. Amen. It also tells us in Hebrews, you know, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. If you need mercy, God's got a storehouse full of mercy. In Lamentations, were it not of his mercies, we'd all be consumed. Another place, his mercies are renewed every day, every day. Every day, there's angels. Fill up that storeroom of mercy. Boy, they hit us hard yesterday. We got to get that full again because I got a feeling there's people that's going to be needing mercy. God doesn't run out of mercy as long as we keep the right spirit and the right attitude. And he said, we don't have to beg. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and ask him for mercy. Ask him for grace. Amen. Mercy is for forgiveness to give you another chance. And grace is for power to help you be an overcomer and to do the will of God. And so these things are multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God. Amen. Now, the first thing in this little short psalm that I read that David emphasized was regarding unity among the brethren by saying how good and pleasant it is. Let me tell you something. And I can tell you this from experience. I've pastored 3 churches, raised in another church, and preached in more churches than I could even begin to remember. And I have been in some places, and I have been at times, even in churches I was pastoring. It's happened here in bygone years. It's happened everywhere I've been in bygone years. And if I go somewhere else, which I don't intend to do, I want to go to heaven. That's my next stop. But between now and then, you know, I trust I never have to go through this again. Now, if this church falls apart this week, it's my fault. The reason being, I started this church 40 years ago. I'm the only pastor that you've ever had, and you are the fruit of my ministry. And if I didn't do any better job of in 40 years of establishing a group of people that's really serious about living for God and doing what's right, then I have failed. And I accept the responsibility. And if you all succeed admirably, amen, if you become one of the greater churches, which I think it is anyway, I'm just prejudiced, I'm sorry, amen, but I preach everywhere and I say, man, I need to get back to Tulsa. These people back in Tulsa know how to have church. Amen. Not everywhere, but a lot of places. But David said, it's so good. It's so pleasant. When there's unity. When there's unity. Oh, hallelujah. When you come to church and everybody there, you like them. When you come to church and there's no one there that you're upset at. When you come to church, amen, and you just feel such a clean spirit and a clean feeling. Amen, because I'm a part of this body of believers. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just wonder what kind of revival we could enjoy if we'd have that spirit, an attitude prevailing in the apostolic movement. So there's nothing more joyful being a member of an apostolic church where there's unity among the people. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's nothing better. Nothing better. And there's nothing more miserable than being in a church that is torn apart by factions and people angry at one another and on and on and on. There's nothing more miserable. I vote to be part of a church, amen, that has unity in it. I'm not just speaking about the people in the local churches, but at the same time I am. But I'm talking about the ministry, all of us. I'm going to tell you, brother, something. I really feel like that this service today is preemptive. I really feel like the next thing that the devil intends to try on us is to bring division between us pastors. Are you listening to me? We are getting as warned, as fair warned as anybody could ever be. Amen. It's almost like a weatherman on the edge of town in one of those spotter vehicles, and he says, I see the tornado. I see the funnel on, I see the debris twirling around, and it's coming your direction, and you're only a quarter mile away from there. That's just about as good of a warning as anyone could ever get. What you do, do quickly. Get in a place of safety immediately, because it's bearing down on you and your family right now. And I'm telling you, we are going to take authority over that. And for the next while, when you're praying, pray for unity in all of our churches. You know why? Because the devil hates it. My God, help us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Let's just pray here for a little bit. Oh, Jesus, have your way in this service. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to thy name, oh, God. Glory be to thy name, oh, Lord. I'm going to tell you what let's do. I believe the Holy Ghost has already confirmed to us that the words I spoke about this plan of Satan, I think we all felt the witness of the Spirit. I want everybody here, amen, to join with us in prayer, and we're going to bind and take authority over those spirits that the devil is sending out against our churches and wants to bring division and misunderstanding. Come on, let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. We come to you right now, Lord. We come unto you right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory be to thy name. We bind and take authority over the spirits of confusion, the spirits of division that Satan wants to bring into our churches, wants to bring into our ministry and divide us asunder where we would not believe and trust one another. God, I bind that foul spirit of hell in Jesus' name. Satan, you're a liar. I command you to take your hands off of these churches in the mighty name of Jesus. God, let your angels encamp around each one of these pastors. Let your angels encamp around each one of these congregations. Every saint, every member, let your angels, God, camp around us and protect us from this onslaught of hell in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we just got a little bit further to go, and that revival that we're expecting is going to break open. We got to hang on just a little bit longer. Fight just a little bit harder. Amen. Take a stand against the devil and not back up one inch. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm praying for each one of you preachers. That anointing oil that was poured over Aaron would be poured over you by the bucket full. An anointing. An anointing that judges sin. An anointing that breaks chains and fetters. An anointing that causes yokes to be broken up of people's necks. And an anointing that binds God people together and brings Holy Ghost renewal. Come on, let's pray to that end. Oh, yes, God, we want it, we want it, we want it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to thy name, glory be to thy name, O Lamb of God. I worship you, I praise you, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's wait on the ministry. Let's all pray quietly right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Confirm your word, God. Confirm your word, Jesus. Let your will be done, God, here in this place today. Let your perfect will be done in this place today, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God.
That which is always hindered has been identified this day. In the course of my dealings with humanity, disunity has always frustrated my grace. Even among my work in this city, the primary focus of hell has been disunity. Every defeat is rooted in disunity. I have declared unto you my intentions. My will not be frustrated anymore. I usher this mandate today that you declare war on disunity. And you hold one another up. I want to send an unprecedented wave of my spirit among my people in this city. And unity will prevail. And my will be accomplished. And my glory will be revealed in your midst. Come on, Shakai. Come on.
Most of the things the Lord just said, I have written down in my concluding statements. But I don't think I need to restate it for God. Let's thank God for His visitation. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Brethren, I think we need to pray for one another. Would you all stand and come up here to the front? Just come on around here. Brother Short, I want you in on this too, Brother James Short.
Yes, yes.
You're an important part of our ministry here. Oh, God. Here's something unique. All of you men are my sons in the gospel. Your ministry, your calling, your ministry developed under my oversight. And that's pretty unique. So I'm like a father, and you all are brothers to one another. To try to compare it to a human level. Do you know it's brothers can either be so close to one another that you can't separate them, or they can be so at each other's throat that it's not safe for them to be together. It seems like that passion either turns toward utter competition and disdain for one another and jealousy, or it goes the other way. And thank the Lord, I don't feel that spirit of jealousy and disdain and all that amongst any of you. But let's be fairly warned that the devil will think up something. Be careful what you believe before you hear it from everyone involved. Someone that you really believe in, somebody you really trust, someone that you think if they said it, it's like the Bible. That's the kind of people, there are people like that that get something in their heart and the devil can use them. There are people that seem to be one thing and there's something else. And it's amazing sometimes. Sometimes the people in the church that will rise up against you and cause you trouble is not somebody that you were watching, but somebody you had confidence in, and it nearly devastates you when it happens. I want us to be extra, extra careful. Do not prejudge any matter. Do not judge anything before it's time. Do not judge anything that you're not involved in. You understand what I'm saying? Because it'll plant seeds of doubt in your mind amongst one another. And then that goes out into your church. We all, how many when you heard we were going to have Fifth Sunday this Sunday for the first time in almost a year and a half, how many of you was happy about it? Huh? How many of you was excited about it? Look at this. Look at this. Look, of course they were. They wouldn't be here if they weren't. But my point is this. If you get soured up, your people will taste that in your preaching, and they won't want to come and fellowship with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. One thing we do not do in this group, we do not allow saints to swap from one church to another. The only time that happens is when it's something that we feel, both sides feel it pertains to the will of God, or there's some kind of extenuating circumstance and the pastor's gotten together and everybody feels good about it. This is the right thing to do.
Yes, sir.
But otherwise, if you're a member of this congregation and you get upset at me and you want to go somewhere else, you're going to have to go somewhere besides one of these places. Because we're just not going to treat each other that way. We're living in Tulsa. It's a hodgepodge of every kind of religious group that's ever been thought up since the creation of the world. There's more churches in Tulsa per capita than any other city in the world. That's a true statistic. And you've got everything in the world you could choose from. Amen. But it's important. It's important. Amen. That we stick together. You know, I'm going to start here with Brother Hardman. And I want all of you. I'm going to lay my hand on his head and anoint him. I want the rest of you to put your hand on him somewhere. And we're going to pray for God's blessing upon him and the work that he's doing there in Beggs. And the burden that he has for Bristow. That somehow God will help him to be able to realize that as well. Would you pray with us, please? Let's stand together. All of you here today that are members of the congregation in Beggs, would you please raise your hand and scatter it around in different parts of the building? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Would you like to join in with a prayer for your pastor? Let's pray right now, church. Let's pray. Oh, God, let the saints get behind this good man and his wife. Let them seek his counsel. Let them receive and obey it in Jesus' name. Bind this church together. Bind them to their man of God in Jesus' name. Oh. 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 God. Oh. All of you from Brother Roach's church, raise your hand. Quite a group of you. Looks like there's probably 80 or 90 of you here. Let's pray for your pastor. Your church is going to go no further than what this man takes you, or no faster than what he leads you. You need to pray for your man of God, for his wife, for his family. Let's pray right now. All of you from Brother Herrera's church, please raise your hand. All right, all right. Let's all pray for this good man and his family and the church he pastors in. Two churches he pastors now, one in Muskogee, one here in East Tulsa. Hallelujah. Come on, let's cry out to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his visitation here today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I praise you, I exalt you, I worship you, Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.